how to this and how to that. Well, tonight, if you will, if you'll turn to chapter 7 of Matthew, I want to help us how to be a good Christian.
Amen.
How to be a good Christian. Now, it doesn't matter. We're not got a scoreboard or anything, you know. Nobody's keeping score on us. But still, I want to be a good Christian.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not a good Christian, not good as I should be. I'm not the best Christian in this room. I'm certain of that. But I want to be. I want to be a good Christian. And so tonight, Matthew chapter 7, and if we will, we'll just start with verse 24. And of course, you know, Jesus is talking here, and he says, verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it."
Amen.
Amen. Now, in our lives growing up, I'm sure we've known a lot of people that said they're Christians. A lot of people said they're Christians. But a good Christian is a rarity. It's rare. And a lot of people go to church, but it's rare to find a good Christian. And Jesus was talking here, and he said, not only in verse 24, "Heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man." That's a good Christian. Wise. You gotta be wise to be a good Christian. "I liken him to a wise man. And, he built his house on a rock." Now we know our rock's Jesus. Amen. And, so we want to be good Christians. We don't just want to be Christians. We want to be wise Christians. And we want our Christianity to look like something that somebody else would be attracted to. Now, I've seen a lot of Christians that didn't attract me to their faith. Growing up, I met a lot of people who said they were Christians, but by the way they acted, whether holy or unholy, I was not attracted to their faith. I didn't want it. Some of them, matter of fact, some of them turned me the other direction. And now I can put up with a man or woman that admits their faults and says they're a Christian, but I ran into some that wasn't nothing wrong with them. According to them, wasn't nothing wrong with them, but they found a whole lot wrong with me.
Amen.
And the only thing that was wrong with me is I needed salvation.
Amen.
Instead of pointing out everything that's wrong with me, they should have just said, "Boy, what you need is Jesus.
Amen.
You need salvation." And thank God he did send me somebody like that. But I want to be a good Christian. I don't want to just be a Christian. And I was praying day before yesterday up here, and I said, "Lord, I don't want to be a powerless preacher. I don't want to be a powerless preacher. I don't just want to stand up and talk. I don't want to do a book report. I want to know the power and the presence of a resurrected Savior. I don't just want to be somebody else that takes up a time slot. Amen. I want to be a good preacher. I want to be a good preacher. And I know I'm not the best. I know my name will never be in the Sword of the Lord or a Christian publication, but I can be good as I can be at being a preacher. Amen. And, my name's written down in heaven. Amen. That's who's keeping my score anyway. Amen. And so we're going to be these things. I tried to figure out how to do it. So if you will, and I hope you have your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1. Now tonight I'm going to give you time to turn there because there's only 5 or 6, but 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 through 7. Now, if I'm going to be a good Christian, I'm going to have to, and this will show you what I mean, how to. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Now, if I'm going to be a good Christian, I'm going to have to be a disciplined Christian. When we go through trials, the purpose of a trial or temptation that God allows is to make us better, to burn off the dross, put us through the fire, like putting gold through a fire, and it'll burn all the impurities off. As a matter of fact, in one place he said, a gold tried seven times. Every time you put it through there, some more of that will run off. And every time you put it through there, till you got pure gold, or as far as man is concerned, pure gold. In heaven it's so pure it's crystal clear. But now, that made the gold better, the trial and the temptation. So in order to go through these trial and temptations, which a lot of people don't last through, we have to discipline ourselves, say, well, he brought me through the other one, he'll bring me through this one too. I did this last time to get through this, I'm going to do it again, I'm just going to trust him. And one fellow told me one time, said, well, what if you're not saved? I said, if I die and go to hell, I'm going to go to hell trusting him.
Amen.
Because I've learned I can trust him.
Yeah.
So I have to discipline myself. Now, here's the problem with most people, they want somebody else to tell them what's right and wrong.
Right.
Now thank God for good preachers, thank God for good teachers, but you already know right from wrong.
Amen.
He said that, it's in you.
Amen.
Even lost people, unless they've seared their conscience, even lost people know right from wrong.
Amen.
And boy, we got a lot of crazy people out there now spouting off all kind of stuff that if I'd have heard as a lost sinner, I'd have said, that man's crazy. Even lost people know. Even lost people know. If you're going to be good at anything, you're going to have to discipline yourself. And boy, how many times, right now, unemployment is so low, it's lowest in the history of our nation. 2 point something. And they say 3% of the nation can't even work because of disabilities or mental or physical or whatever. But it's down below 3%. But here's what you got to learn. If you're going to work a job, you ought to go in there to be a good employee, not just an employee. In order to do that, you're going to have to discipline yourself. If you wait for your boss man to tell you everything to do, you ain't going to have a job long. They don't want to hire somebody that somebody's got to stand over top of them and tell them everything to do. I remember everywhere I worked, they'd end up having me train people. And I'd train people, and then after a few weeks, the boss man would say, what do you think? I said, I have to tell him everything. He has no initiative. He don't see anything to do. You know, I always, if my job was tore up or something, you being on union work, I've been on that too, they won't allow you to do anything else but your job. I'd get me a broom and sweep around my job, clean it up. I'd clean up my work desk, you know. I'd do stuff like that. I didn't just go over and sit down and do nothing. And you have to, and by the way, you'll get the best raises, you'll get the best promotions when you're like that. And as a Christian, we shouldn't have to have somebody tell us everything to do. But boy, most of the church, they want somebody to tell them what to do because they are undisciplined in their spiritual life. That's why these churches don't have meetings but one time a week. Because the pastor and the staff's done got so undisciplined in their Christian life that they don't want to go to church but one time a week. So naturally all these other undisciplined people, which they have attracted to themselves, they don't care whatever he says. That's what we're going to do. We'll come once a week. I had a preacher friend. He took a church. They only had church on Sunday morning. Baptist church. And I told him, I said, why don't you have church on Sunday night? He said, nobody comes. I said, why don't you have church on Wednesday night? He said, nobody will come. And there was another preacher sitting beside him, a black man. And he spouted off the same thing. He said, they won't come. I said, let me tell you something. They don't come because nobody leads them. I said, look, what you ought to do is stand up this Sunday morning and make an announcement. Say, oh yeah, in our announcements this week, I just want to let you know, we're having church Sunday night. And me and my wife will be here. If y'all want to come, y'all come. But if you don't come, we're going to be here. And I said, people will come. They'll come. Now, you won't get your Sunday morning crowd all, but you'll get people to come. And I said, there's the same thing on Wednesday night. And I said, by the way, what if only one shows up and they get help?
Amen. That's
right. Is that not what they were saying? We can't get the crowd back on Sunday night. We can't get the crowd back on Wednesday night. Well, I never read and hear anything like that. The Bible doesn't say nothing like that. What I've got to do, I've got to discipline myself. Now, sometimes my wife tries to discipline me. Sometimes my children try to discipline me. Sometimes you try to discipline me. And I might do it just to please you one time. Come on, husbands, you know what I'm talking about. It's a running joke these past few weeks about me and doing housework or something. Somebody said, well, no, one of my grandsons. My oldest grandson, he's what, how old, eight? 8 years old. He told my wife, she was kind of, they was talking about me. You know, I'm the best topic they got. And so they was talking about me. And, he said, well, I know how Papa is. He said, he's one of those people, he'll do what you tell him, but then he won't do nothing else unless you tell him. I said, he was talking about himself. But we have to be disciplined in our Christian life. You say, well, I'm saved. I read my Bible every day. I do some prayer. I go to church on Sunday morning. I'm doing all right. What reason? You're limiting yourself when you don't discipline yourself. And I used to work. Now, listen, I've never been to hell, but I had a job that was right next door to it. I used to put insulation in houses. Oh, man, you're talking about bad. And I had left Bible college up in North Carolina because they were wrong, and the Lord just got me out of there. But I was hunting a job, and I'd pick up cans to buy gasoline so I could drive my car and hunt a job. And I run up on putting in insulation up here in Pineville. They got an insulation place. And it was insulating new houses and old. New houses wasn't that bad. Old were awful. I'd have to unroll that long roll of insulation, lay it across my body, and crawl up under that house and take it and stick it up in the floor joists like that. No mask. I wasn't that smart. And boy, I'd go home and I'd take a shower, Brother Billy. I'm going to feel better. I'd go in there and it felt like 10,000 needles sticking in my body. Awful. It was awful. And so, listen, but I went to work. Amen. And my partner, they put you with another guy. My partner, he was a young guy, but he was a drunk. And we'd get up and we'd have to go to work. They'd give us a printout of where to go and what to do, you know. And so we'd have so much insulation, we'd have to load our truck. So we'd get in the warehouse, we'd load up our truck. He never wanted to start before 8:30, 9 o'clock. And then, before we got started out, he had to stop at the Copper Kettle up in Pineville to eat breakfast. Well, by the time he got through eating breakfast, it's 10 o'clock. And I didn't eat breakfast. I ate breakfast at home. And then we'd go to that first house, you know, we'd put it in, and by then it's lunchtime. And then we'd eat lunch, and sometimes he'd say, well, I just don't feel like doing that next house. Let's just go home. I wasn't making nothing. And finally I told him, I said, boy, you know, if we start at 8 o'clock and not take all these breaks and don't go to lunch and just work and we do that five days a week, you would triple your income because we got paid by how much we did. Yeah. We did it for 1 week. He got that check. He was so happy. I said, what's the thing about that? He said, I love this check. He said, but next week we start back the old way. He wouldn't discipline himself. He got to cussing one day on one of them ladders up in one of them new houses where, you know, some of them got them 20-something foot ceilings. He was up there putting in insulation. I was holding that ladder and he got using God's name. I said, boy, I done told you to stop that. And if you don't quit, I'm going to kick this ladder over. You wouldn't do that. You're a Christian. I said, that's why I'm going to do that. He hated me. The boy hated me. But look, if we're going to be a good Christian, we've got to discipline ourselves. Now, your children can't discipline themselves. They're living on the flesh. Brother Billy, that boy in there ain't got, he don't have any idea how to be a man. He has no, he thinks he does. If you can do it like this, he is good at it, I'm sure. But you can't do it like that. And our young people, we need somebody to help them. We have to discipline them until they can discipline themselves. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But as a grown Christian, we shouldn't have to have somebody run around behind us all the time and tell us what to do and what not to do. We just ought to see it and do it. Amen. And whatsoever your hand find, do it all your might. Amen. Number one, if you're going to be a good Christian, you're going to have to discipline yourself. And listen, there's all kind of examples that would not, Lot would not discipline himself. The rich fool would not discipline himself. Moses did. Moses disciplined himself. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I know some preachers hadn't seen the sun come up in 30 years. It's the truth. They won't get up. They stay up too late and sleep too long. They ought to get up. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, if you will. Look at Moses. Look at verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense, the reward, in other words, what was coming. Now, listen, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How did he do that? Choosing to suffer instead. Now, don't you think he had to discipline himself? The man had grew up in the lap of luxury. He had grown up in the richest house in the world. He was richer than a Trump's kid. I mean, this man grew up in the richest culture in the world. Everything was at his fingertips. All he had to do was point at it. He'd get it just like that. No problem. But then when he found out who he really was, who his heavenly father was, and that he was of the family of Abraham, let me tell you something. He disciplined himself and walked away from every bit of that. Now, as a Christian, sometimes we had to walk away from our jobs. I've done it. I've quit jobs over my faith. We have to walk away from friends. I've lost friends over my faith. Sometimes we lose family over our faith. But we're not going to do it if we don't do it on our own. I remember my poor sister Judy. She had been a retard and she smoked from about the time she was 12. She could smoke 2 or 3 packs in a day, you know. And after I got saved, Lord delivered me from cigarettes. Took me a year to quit. Hardest thing I ever quit in my life. And for a year after that, I could have smoked one that long. And so I had to discipline myself to quit. I'd pray and quit and pray and quit and pray and quit and pray. Now, it don't bother me. I hate to be around it now. But Judy would smoke. And I'd say, Judy, you need to quit smoking. You shouldn't do that. She'd say, well, Ronnie, if the Lord wants me to quit smoking, he'll take them away from me. I said, he will on your last breath. Amen. And it took her a long time. She got emphysema when she got older, and the doctor told her, if you, was it emphysema, I think it was, and the doctor told her, said, if you don't quit smoking, it's going to turn into lung cancer. You're going to die. Did you know that woman quit smoking cold turkey? But wouldn't it have helped if she just quit a long time earlier, because she died of heart disease? Now, let me tell you something. There's some things we're going to have to do. The preacher can't make you do it. Your wife can't make you do it. Your husband can't make you do it. Your mom and dad can't make you do it. You just got to do it if you're going to be a good Christian. Now, you can be a good Christian, a Christian, and not do it. There are some things that won't send you to hell, but they won't make you a good Christian either. And they're questionable, or maybe they're even harmful, but they won't condemn you. But still, if you'll discipline yourself, a lot of things you'll change just because of the appearance of it sometimes. I tell y'all parents, I say, man, get your kids to dress right. Get them dressed right. I'm going to tell you what, when they leave your house, they're going to slip a little. And if they ain't right now, what they going to look like then? Amen? You keep that boy's hair cut, and when he leaves your house, becomes a man, he'll grow fender skirts. Did you know that's what's wrong with most of these churches today? They're being run by children of Christians who did not discipline their children, and now their children are not disciplining themselves, and they want to look like the world and act like the world and sing like the world and everything else like the world because they've slipped the little bit that they had. Boy, they'd been in the Marines. Well, think what a mess he would have been if he hadn't been in the Marines. He done slipped now. Look at him. Get married ain't going to help it a bit. You have to discipline yourself. Hey man, what y'all laughing about? I see a lot of fat men in here. Don't laugh at him. But we have to discipline ourselves. Now, listen to this. If we're going to be a good Christian, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. You ain't mad yet, are you? This might get you right here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. You say, preacher, do you make it your goal to make people mad? Sometimes I do. 2 Timothy. Did I say 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy. Because I got one in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You got it? Say amen when you got it. Verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Now, if you're going to be a good Christian, did you know sometimes you're going to have biblical convictions and people's going to leave you?
Right.
That's why they left him. He had biblical convictions and they walked off and left him. Now, are y'all still with me? Look up here. I ain't said pray yet. Look up here. Listen, sometimes you're going to have to discipline yourself and have biblical convictions, and you got to be willing to lose friends. Now, here's the problem. Most people don't know the difference between a conviction and a preference. There's some things I prefer. I'd rather it be that way. But I wouldn't die for them.
No.
I'd rather you be scripturally baptized.
Amen.
I would. I believe it's a conviction. I would probably die for that. Yeah. Many have died for that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they have. But I wouldn't die to join a different church. If I was in a place where there's no Baptist churches and I didn't have anywhere else to go, I'd find a church that's as close to what the Bible says that I could find, and I'd attend church. Amen. There's good Christians in other denominations, some of them, you know. So that's a preference. It's a conviction of what I believe. The Baptist confession of faith is a conviction. I think we'll be willing to die for those things. But I wouldn't miss church just because I wasn't close to a Baptist church. I'd go to church somewhere if there was one to go to. I know this. Everybody doesn't have music like our church does. I prefer what we have. But there's some good Christians that have different kind of music than we do. And I wouldn't fight with them and die over it. I wouldn't want to go to their church because their music ain't up to where I think it ought to be. But it's not something I die over. Amen. So what we've got to do in order to be a good Christian, we've got to have some convictions. Number one, I'd say, well, the Bible's inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Every word, every jot, every tittle. And God preserved it in the English language in the old KJV. Amen. Now that's a conviction. I'd die over that. I would say you must be born again. That's a conviction. I'd die over that.
Amen.
I would say, you ought to have preaching, not a little talk.
Yes.
And I just about die over that. That's not just a preference, because God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe.
Amen.
I'd prefer a Chrysler over a Chevrolet, but I wouldn't fight you over it. It's not a conviction. I've had Chevrolets. I had a 66 Chevelle Malibu. Amen. Yes, say, wow, that thing burned up the road, lost my license twice. I'm telling you, that thing was bad to the bone, buddy. I'd prefer, but I just like the way Christ, some Chryslers look more than Chevrolets. But I wouldn't die over that. Amen?
Amen.
But I have to make some Christian convictions, and when I do, some people's gonna say, okay, if all you're gonna use King James Bible and you don't want to hear anybody else preach out of anything else, then we're gonna have to part ways. I'd have to say, I love you. Come back and see me. I'm not gonna hate you, but I'm not following you either. Because who decides which one they use this week and which one they use next week, and 140 English translations now, who decides what's what? And if that's not confusion, then God's not the author of confusion. You ought to go to, somebody told me the other day, they went to a Southern Baptist church to visit and said the pastor read out King James, but everybody else, when they had responsive readings, they was all reading out about 10 different English translations, and said it was totally confused in that place. So that's what you don't want to do. By, I believe that Jesus Christ was a virgin born, sinless life, died in my place, rose from the dead the third day, is coming back in all his glory. And you say, well, I just don't believe. One of those I don't believe, I'd say, that's conviction. A lot of people's died over those things. That's not something I'm going to negotiate. But I've got to have the self-discipline to practice that.
Amen.
Because when it comes to family and friends leaving you, when it comes to losing jobs and losing popularity or position, a lot of people will compromise and back down. If you're going to be a good Christian, you're going to have to discipline yourself. You ain't mad yet? Okay, let's keep going then. I'm going to go till I make you mad. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. That's right next to the book of Moses. Did you say amen, Josiah? Did you say amen? It's right next to, I woke him up. All right, I was really kidding. It's right next to the book of Benadiah. All right, Ecclesiastes. Say amen when you get there. All right, verse 10, chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might.
Yes.
For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, if you're going to do something for God, you better do it now.
Yes.
And you better do it with all your might. As a pastor, I get tired of half in, half out, half up, half down, may show up, may not, may do what they said they'd do, may not. That's not a good Christian. Matter of fact, I got a sermon, you're going to remember it. It's like a man with a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Unfaithful Christian is. You don't know when they're going to work. I got to get a crown this week. I hate that. I hate people mess with my teeth, but I got to get a crown. And the reason is, it's got a feeling in it, been there forever, and I bite on it, it hurts now. Now I hate that. I despise that. But I can't eat like I want to eat like that. Amen? And God's business can't be run by people like that either.
That's right.
Every little thing can't depend on, well, preacher, it was hot today. Well, preacher, it was cold today. Well, preacher, somebody came to visit me at the house. Well, preacher, I forgot what time to get up. Oh, shut up. You need to discipline yourself.
Yeah.
Amen. And whatever you do, you have to do your best. Do your best. Now, listen to me. If you don't do your best for me, it's probably not going to bother me that much, because I know you're made out of dirt. And I know I've not always done my best. But if you don't do your best for God, you're going to answer for that.
Amen.
Billy gets up here and he makes fun of himself. And he's learned, just like I have, if we make fun of ourselves, you won't make fun of us. We say, oh, Billy, it ain't that bad. You do good, Billy. Ain't that what you want to hear, Billy? Come on, come on. Amen. But he does the best he can do.
Yep.
He does the best he can do. I watched Tom up here tonight. Tom was up here, and Tom's got a bad habit. You know what it is? He looks at Billy while he sings, and it messes him up. I want to say, look at the paper, Tom. Look at the paper. The paper don't match what you're doing. Well, that's why he gets messed up. Amen. But do it the best you can do it. I don't care. Hey, it may not be the best somebody else can do, but it's the best you can do. Do it with all your might.
Yes, sir.
I met preachers. Barely was even pastors. Barely were pastors. They just, Billy used to have one might show up. He might not. Yeah, I saw him the other day. He might show up. He might not. Wonderful guy. Loving guy. I mean, sweet guy. But he wasn't doing it with all his might. And there's a lot of preachers that way. A lot of Sunday school teachers that way. They go to church on Sunday morning. They think, well, I told them I'd do this class. I better show up. That's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful. I used to go to a place to get jobs, and I always had that question on the bottom of that application. I don't have an application anymore, I don't think, so you had to make up a resume. But anyway, down at the bottom of it, and I'd like to see some of your resumes, by the way. Yeah. You had to put down there. It said, what makes you think you'd be a good employee for such a company? And I'd write down there, because I do it as unto the Lord with all my might. And I'd always get to speak to the head man. They never saw anything like that. I'd always get to speak to the head man. Now, listen to me. We got to do it with all our might. That's to be a good Christian. Now, you can halfway do things, still be a Christian, go to heaven. But you won't be a good Christian.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Y'all ain't going to sleep on me, are you?
No.
All right. You ain't mad yet. Proverbs 23, verse 7. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to the good Christians tonight. Amen. Amen. Well, if you say it, you're probably not one. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Amen. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know what he's saying? Think for yourself. I tell people, I say, now you can come here, you can belong here, you can be a member, you can do things, but don't expect me to do all your thinking. Think for yourself. You make decisions. You make decisions. This one, a young man came to me one time and said, Pastor, I think we're going to leave this church and find us another church. I said, well, that's fine. You can do that. I said, how did you come to this conclusion? He said, well, my wife told me that's what we need to do. And I said, well, what do you think? He said, well, I'm torn. I'm really torn. I said, then you shouldn't do anything until what you think. Amen. He said, well, to keep peace, I got to do this. I ain't going to preach on that, ladies. Don't worry. But let me tell you something. That man needed to think for himself.
Amen.
You know why people get in cults? They don't want to think for themselves.
Right.
They want somebody else to do the hard thinking and make the hard decisions. And they fall into a cult. Every Mormon... Two missionaries, they go out together, knock on doors. Ever been to your house? Ask them. Every one of them was born and raised, one of them was, born and raised in the Mormon church. The other one is always a convert from a different kind of church. You ask them, I've done it over and over. They might say, I grew up a Methodist, I grew up a Baptist, I grew up a Lutheran, whatever. And these people were duped into following another Jesus. Why? Because they let somebody else do their thinking for them. I wasn't saved hardly any time at all, and two of them knocked on my door, and I didn't know a Baptist from a Mormon. And they're on black pants, black shoes, and a white shirt, and a black tie, and on right here it said elder, and I said, come on in. I didn't know the difference.
Right.
They look like good fundamental Baptists to me.
Right.
I mean, they're dressed right, they had right haircut, they're talking right, they're smiling, they're friendly, they're clean cut. Yeah, come on in. He said, it's from church. I didn't know what church of Latter-day Saints meant. You know, so they come in and they begin to talk back and forth, and I didn't know. I offered them a Pepsi Cola. No, we don't want Pepsi Cola. So I said, well, you want some coffee? No, we don't want the coffee. And I said, well, you want some tea? We got some sweet tea. No. I didn't know they couldn't drink caffeine. Nobody told me that. And they said, we want to tell you about our church. And they begin that big long speech that they give about the church used to exist, and then it disappeared, and then the angel Moroni showed up to old Joseph Smith, you know, while he was up there drinking the recipe, and then they gave him this book, and the Book of Mormon, and then later on another angel translated it to him and all this stuff. I didn't know all that stuff. All I knew is they said they were Christians. That's from the church. Yeah. Did you know I was so naive, I thought all Christians believed the same thing?
Yeah.
I was so naive, did you know I thought all churches believed the same thing? Yeah. I was so naive. Now, I was probably 24 by then, 23 at the earliest. That's when I got saved. But did you know I thought all churches had the same Bible? If you opened up to page 10 on one Bible in any church, it'd be the same Bible in every church. I didn't know. And he began to tell me all this story, you know. And I didn't know what to think. I didn't know enough about the Bible except to be saved. That's all I knew. And so he goes on to tell me that. And then he starts telling me about Joseph Smith and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And he had a King James Bible. But that, the bottom of it, about that much, was the Book of Mormon. And he said, well, you know, the prophet said, I didn't know one prophet from another. You know, I didn't know there wasn't a prophet Joe. And I said, well, I don't know about all this. He said, well, let me tell you what you need to do. We're going to take your Bible, and we'll take the Book of Mormon, and we'll lay them down here on the floor, and we'll pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what the Word of God really is, and that this is another revelation of Jesus Christ. And something just got all over me. I said, I can't do that. I said, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. I don't know enough to do it. I was scared to do it. And then when they saw I wouldn't make a good convert, they said, well, we got to go. And I said, well, God bless you. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to bid them Godspeed. But you know what I did decide that day? There were some things I needed to decide and think for myself. Now, any other ignorant Baptist that didn't read the Bible and wasn't spiritually minded would have got right down there and prayed that prayer, they'd have had another convert. We walked in, me and my wife was visiting one of my old friends I grew up with in Lancaster. I hadn't been saved long. We started that little church down there in the liquor store. I think we'd done started by then. By the way, they always accused us of going to the liquor store as Baptists. We might as well start a church in one. Amen. And we went to see him and his wife, and they took us in the kitchen, and his mama, his brother stayed there in the living room watching television. And we started talking about the Lord and talking about coming to church. And somebody, it was at night. And she went to answer the door. And she come back, she said, hey, y'all come in the living room. There's some people here you might want to meet. They're from church too. And something just told me, these are Mormons. And I went in there, and sure enough, there they were, two of them. And that one of them looked at each other. They looked at each other, and one said, now you got to remember, I'm in my 20s, they're in their 20s. And one of them looked at the other and said, what you think we'll do? He said, I don't know what you think we'll do. Because I was introduced as a Baptist pastor. Undoubtedly, they'd had some meetings with Baptist pastors. And it wasn't good. And so the other looked at the other and he said, I don't know what you want to do. I said, I'll tell you what, fellas, I see you torn up on what to do. I said, why don't you just come in here? And by the way, I wouldn't recommend you do this. I said, why don't you come here and sit down? And I'll let you take your little book and your flip chart. and you can show these people what you believe, and then I'll take the Bible and show them what I believe and let them make a decision. And that one looked at Donnie and said, you think we'll do that? And he said, I don't know. You think we'll do that? He said, I don't know. I said, let's go over here and sit down. So we sit down. They went through the little flip chart. And about halfway through it, I just couldn't hold it back no more. I said, why don't you tell these people the truth? And the seasoned one that grew up in Salt Lake City, he said, what do you mean? I said, why don't you tell them that you don't believe in hell? A literal, burning, everlasting hell. And he said, well, no, we don't. I said, why don't you tell them that Jesus, that God used to be a man? Well, yeah, we do believe that. I said, why don't you tell them that Jesus and the devil are brothers? Well, kind of. I said, why don't you tell these ladies in here that men can work their way to godhood and become gods, but women can't? And I said, the only reason these women get to go to heaven is so they can have spiritual babies. And that's why you justify multiple marriages down here on planet Earth. Because up there in heaven, those people's making spirit babies, and they're coming down here to Earth and inhabiting human baby bodies. So you want a man to have five or six wives so he can have more bodies inhabited by those spirits. He said, well, it's not quite that simple. I said, yeah, it is. And one of them old sinners with a long ponytail and earring, he said, that's crazy. I said, let me tell you what the Bible says. And I took him through the plan of salvation. And another one of those rednecks said, well, we believe what you say. We don't believe what they're talking about. That's crazy. What you say is the Bible.
Amen.
Now, you see, they had enough sense to make decisions and do their own thinking.
Amen.
But what would have been what would have happened if somebody hadn't been there to help them?
That's right.
I went through a whole bunch of them. I started with the Mormons. I said, you heard what I said, you heard what the Bible said. He said, yeah. I said, did you grow up Mormon? He said, no, I grew up a Methodist in St. Louis or somewhere. I said, then you've heard what I just said. I said, Methodists still tell the gospel, whether they believe it or not, they still tell it. He said, yeah, I've heard it many times. I said, have you ever done that? He said, done what? I said, have you ever received Jesus as your Savior? He hung his head and looked at the other guy and he looked back down and he looked at the other guy and looked back down and he said. So I looked at his friend. I said, where are you from? He said, I grew up in Salt Lake City. I've been a Mormon all my life. And this is our mission work. And by the way, they're on the mission work, working their way to Godhood. I said, well, you've heard the gospel. I said, matter of fact, they've trained you how to argue with what I just told you. He said, yeah, they have. I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, you're very confused on heaven and hell and who God is, but just let me ask you this question. If you died right now, are you absolutely sure you'd go to wherever this God is? He looked at that guy and he looked at me and ashamedly said, no. I said, well, you could do that tonight. And he looked at that guy again. He said, I couldn't do that. So then I go around the room. Of course, all those sinners, they agree with me. But none of them got saved. Not one. Look, you got to think for yourself. If you're going to be a good Christian, you got to start doing some thinking.
Amen.
I got to quit. Man, I got to quit. I'm just going to quit. Okay, I got a lot more to do, but I'm going to quit. Now, listen, of all of these, worldly thinking, worldly doing, our nature is a sin nature, and it makes us think wrong and behave wrong and treat people wrong and be lazy. But a good Christian ought to be just the opposite. Did we not get born again? But here's the problem. We're still carrying this thing here.
Amen.
So we have to, what he said, purpose in our heart.
Yeah.
We got to make a decision one day. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Amen.
If my wife leaves me, I'll follow Jesus. If my husband leaves me, I'll follow Jesus. If my kids forsake me, I'll follow Jesus. If I lose all my friends, I'll follow Jesus. If I have to change churches, I'll follow Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
But that takes work. And it's work being a good Christian. But I think it's worth it. Because when I get to heaven, I don't just want to enter heaven. I want to hear that. Enter down to George, Lord, thou good and faithful servant. You say, we can't be good. Well, then God lied then because he said, enter down to George, Lord, thy good and faithful servant. Let's go out here this week and be good.
Amen.
And don't quit that copping out. No man's good. You know, no man's good. You're good as you want to be.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, as far as I know,